the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the Music Store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast. I'm a celebrity. Not me. The show. I'm a celebrity, X Factor, and Strictly Come Dancing, all discussed on this podcast in the next half an hour or so in the company of reality Rob Dixon, who's sat next to me this week. Hello, Rob.
Hi, mate.
We'll have Andy Holding in the studio as well, and we'll be on the phone to Daniel Gould from the fantastic Sofa Bet. If you don't read it so far, then you should do in future. We'll tell you more about that in a little while, but we're going to start off with I'm a Celebrity this week, Rob, because one reason is that Andy's not here. I've really enjoyed it so far. I must admit, it's a nice group of celebrities who we are faced with every night. We've had three more additions over the last 24 hours as well on our screens, that is. And the betting has moved because of that. We're going to go through the outrights, as we normally do with these things. And then Rob and I are going to have a little chat about I'm a Celeb. I think Andy's got some thoughts on it already as well. But the big news overnight is that Vicky Pattinson, who is the new addition from The Only Way Is Geordie, is now 5-2 favourite. Georgie Porter was favourite, now 3-1. Lady Colleen Campbell, 7-1. Don't back Lady Colleen Campbell at 7. Don't put any of your money on Lady Colleen Campbell, please. Spencer Matthews, one of the new additions from This Is Essex, is 7-1. Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet, 7-1. He was the early favourite, of course, after being subject to that big, big bet. George Shelley from Union J, 10-1. Chris Eubank, 20-1. Duncan Bannatyne, 25-1. Fern McCann, another new addition. She's from The Only Way Is Essex.
Fern McCann, yes.
Yes, got them right. 25-1. Kieran Dyer, ex-footballer, 25-1. Brian Friedman of X Factor choreography fame, 33-1. Yvette Fielding of Ghost Hunting fame, 33-1. And Susanna Constantine, who I think is a little bit unlucky to be the 50-1 outsider. I think she's been pretty good in there so far.
She has been in there, hasn't she? Just confirm. I haven't seen her the last couple of days.
She's been all right, actually. I think George Shelley's been less... had less screen time so far, but I mean, just going, we won't go through every single one of them, but Vicky Pattinson, I think I said to you out in the office, everyone who bets on this must have been thinking during that show, because this is my exact words. I watched it for 5 minutes with her in there, and I've watched quite a lot of shows with her in, to my detriment. Not only is the Geordie Shore thing, I haven't watched that much of that, but I've watched the thing that she does where she judges, she goes and helps weird problems with people. She comes across all right on that. Bit gobby, but comes across all right. And I've watched her on X on the Beach, and she came across all right on that as well.
Why are you watching these shows?
Because my wife watches them.
You're a 40-odd-year-old man. Why are you watching it?
I don't do it out of choice, but lo and behold, it actually helps me in the end. my wife watches this stuff, and I sit there pretending to work, and I get dragged into them, and I end up watching them, and I end up commenting, and she goes, yeah, you see, you do like them in the end. 5-2 favourite. Maybe that's a little bit of an overreaction, but there's a lot about her to like in reality terms. She knows reality TV, for one. She could quite easily change people's perception of her if they have a negative perception of her while she's in there, because she's a strong woman. She'll become friends with Georgie Porter, I predict, and she'll become friends with the older women and the older people in the group. I think she'll bridge that gap. I think she's a very honest person, which comes across well. And I think she'll get stuck into the tasks. What's not to like, Rob? You can understand why the money's coming.
Yeah, you can make a case. These shows are all about changing public perception, aren't they? She has to do that. This one's a lot more airtime based, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think you go into these type of shows. I mean, the obvious comparison is Charlotte Crosby, who won Celebrity Big Brother.
But I do think they are different.
Different demographics.
Yeah, definitely. A different kind of voting audience as well.
Different voting audience. So, yeah, I think she's that short at the moment based on the airtime she's got in the last 48 hours. Yeah. It's basically been sort of the Vicky and Spencer show. Mm. They've gone for Vicky more than Spencer. That might sort of equal itself out over the weekend. But 5-2, I'd probably be a layer rather than a backer at 5-2.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, Georgie Porter's still there. I think Georgie Porter's there till the end. I think I think one of these new people will be there to the end.
And then only one previous winner who's come in late. Do you know that?
Biggins.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we've had a couple of third places and a couple of fourth places, but only one winner after starting the show.
That's against. Admittedly, they've come in. This is probably the earliest they've come in. Like to,
I think they were all coming in between
day 5 and 10, weren't they? And they've come in a little bit earlier. Yeah. So, Vicky Pattinson, 5-2. For me, it's kind of a lay at the moment, but you've got to find the alternative, haven't you? Georgie Porter, 3-1.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think there to the end. Lady Colin Campbell is your Marmite character, isn't it? How's she going to go for the rest of the thing? She's got a task tonight. I think she'll be on the live. Is it the live task tonight? So, again, if she wants to quit like she did, she didn't want to go in the Temple of Terror, was it? I think, wasn't
yeah, that, yeah. Nights ago. She didn't want to go in there because her cousin had been buried alive.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. It's a fair reason not to do it.
They gave her that task.
It did seem strange that the producers didn't know about it, even though it was actually talked about on that first show. It did seem a very strange situation. Just going back over previous winners, it's always handy to look at the final three, if you like, if you for betting purposes. Obviously, Carl Fogarty won last time out with Jake Quickenden and Melanie Sykes in the final. Kian Egan, David Emmanuel and Lucy Pagata were in the final three the year before. So again, you've got a very similar kind of, you know, the sportsman in there, or the younger kind of, you know, sexy guy, is that fair? Kian Egan, David Emmanuel, the older guy in there as well. Melanie Sykes and Lucy Pagata, kind of similar kind of characters. Charlie Brooks, Ashley Roberts and David Hay the year before that. This is the final three. It's Dougie Poynter, Mark Wright, Fatima Whitbread. Still hurts, Mark Wright. Still hurts.
Mark
Wright. What price did we have at the start?
Six on.
What price did we back him at the start? 12s?
12s. Traded 6 on the final night. Yeah, I remember these nights.
I won't go back too much further because we're going back to kind of 2010. Cece Solomon, Sean Ryder, Jenny Eclair.
The older character does seem to maybe not win, but does seem to get a there. Kim Woodburn, I think, going back the previous year.
I wouldn't count Lady Collins, Lady C in that list, though. I would be looking at you, Duncan Ballantyne.
I think she's too controversial. I still think, I know I've backed him, I still think Chris Eubank at 20-1 is a massive price. Sportsman, older person. You've obviously got Fatima Whitbread, you've got David Hay.
Yeah.
Jimmy White, I think's ended up getting a place in this before.
Oh yeah, the early days, Phil Tufnell, of course, you know, won it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He won it.
Your older sports person is still a big runner for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I just wonder if he'll sink into the background at times. And that sounds a ridiculous thing to say about Chris Eubank, but he won't push himself to the front.
The problem you've got is the first week, and I say this every year about this show, once they've stuck on one person to pick for these tasks, then you tend to get that person night after night after night. I honestly believe if you do it once, one night, then you shouldn't be on the next night, and then you at least get a little bit of sort of lesser consistency.
I think the other thing, we say this every year, to think about this show is that it's not the longest show in the world.
No, 3 weeks.
But don't get carried away in the first week. Everyone gets carried away with the bets in the first week, thinking, oh, she's on all the time. It's not the longest, but because it's on every night, you get a lot of development throughout the series. So, you know, I'm keeping my powder dry a little bit here. I mean, I do think as soon as Vicky came in, I do think she's a,
yeah, I think if you bat Vicky, I mean, she was 10-12 to 1 when she
went in. If you got that price,
so
fantastic. I'd be more than happy with that. I'm just looking at some of the older ones and seeing who will be around. I think, you know, I do think there's a little bit of mileage in Yvette or Susanna at the minute still at big prices, because the older woman does do particularly well. I don't think Lady Colin Campbell is that one. I think she'll go at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if she walked at some point, by the way. She's a volatile character, and you know, and she's a bit out there. So yeah, keep an eye on Susanna and Yvette and see which one of those is really starting to maybe be friends with these younger crowd who are in there.
Yeah, I think I mean the eviction market, which we'll get onto in a minute, I think is probably the most sort of open eviction I can remember for a long time in this. I know there might be at some stage immunity and stuff like that, so the market will be whittled down, but I just think it's a really close eviction.
Before we get into the eviction, there is another market. I'm a Celebrity, most bushtucker trials. Lady Colin Campbell, 1-2. Fern McCann, 2-1. Then a big old jump up to 12-1 for Georgie Porter. 20s for Vicky. 20s for Yvette. 25s for Brian. 25s for Chris Eubank. Then you get up to 33s for Spencer. 66s for Duncan. 80s for Susanna. And 100-1 for George, Kieran and Tony Hadley. Again, really worth looking into this and seeing how many challenges the people who stay in there do, because
Are you looking about 8 challenges, aren't you, for the winner?
Yeah, you get carried away by thinking, you know, you remember like the kind of, you know, Katie Price going in there and others, you know, who have gone in there and been given all the early ones.
I think the woman in Easter End Coronation Street was the one, wasn't it? What was her name?
I can't remember her name.
The one who screamed and refused to do the task, but she went quite early. And everybody had sort of backed her down to odds on, and she'd gone quite early and obviously beaten, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I think it's always really interesting to see that. Don't get carried away by the idea that it's going to be the same person all the time, because that's just not how it works. You look at, last year, for instance, Kendra got a fair few, didn't she? And,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's like I say, it's well worth keeping an eye out and just have a look to see how many the trials do. So last year, Foggy won it with this market with 7, with Kendra, who also got 7. Kendra was eliminated. I think she came, about 4th or 5th?
Yeah.
Foggy obviously won it. So, you have to look at the previous series.
Yeah. You've got to it's twofold, isn't it? You've got to manage who you think's going to get the task with how long they're going to last for. And that's where you can sometimes fall down or spot some amazing value.
Yeah, definitely. Just having a look at the year before, Kian, who was the overall series winner, got 7, but the winner of this market would have been Joey with 8. Joey Essex was getting voted for everything, wasn't he? Came 4th in the series in the end. The series before that, which was the series that
this was
with
Helen
Brooks.
Helen Flanagan.
Helen Flanagan.
We were talking.
Yeah, she was brilliant. She got 7. And in the end, Charlie, who won the show, got 5.
Yeah.
Going back, well, may as well look back a couple of more years here. The series 11, which was the one with Dougie and Mark, still hurts. Oh God. Mark had 6, didn't he, in the end, with Fatima and Dougie with 5. There was no one in the first week who really kind of got the public going there. So if Lady C gets a few more.
Yeah,
she may well be that.
What's
one,
she up to
a good
now?
One
she's
to
about
two.
To about 3 or 4 now, isn't she? That's the.
Has she done 4 already?
You're saying that you need 7.
Well, I mean, if you look at the actual bushtucker trials at the minute, you know, there's lots of people who've done lots of them. She's done 1, 2, 3, 4 at the moment.
Yeah.
Just looking down the list, no one else has done anywhere near that, have they?
No, she is clear. The question is, can she hold on?
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like Leicester in the Premier League, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, Chris has done 2 at the moment. You wonder if he might get a few more. But yeah, if you're looking, Rob, at, you know, say Vicky staying in a long time, or someone like George staying in a long time, I think there's some value in this market.
George
here.
Is there, isn't he?
Fern McCann, I couldn't be backing her at 2-1. Georgie at 12-1 might be worth a bet, you know. You think she's going to go to the final? Four or five.
Based on that, I'd rather bet Vicky at 20s and Georgie at 12s.
I think there are a couple of bets in there that might be worth looking at. Whoever you think is going to go through to the final, then I'd be looking at them to do the most bushtucker trials at big prices, because Lady Colin Campbell won't be there long enough, I think, and I think she'll probably end up
Do you think she goes, though? Based on...
Second or third, when she's petered
that
out.
Early.
If she doesn't walk, I think people will be bored by then. Bored out of the brains by then.
Yeah.
She'll be annoying, she'll be boring. I think people will be tired of it.
I just think
that.
It's...
Obviously, I'll reserve judgment to see how much screen time she gets.
It is so close to call, that eviction, though, that first one. Because they're all getting sort of a much of a muchness of this airtime.
Susanna's 7-2 favourite. Yvette is 7-2 as well. Brian Friedman, 13-2. So is Duncan Bannatyne. Fern, 8-1. Kieran, 9-1. Lady C, 9-1. Chris Eubank, 10. Spencer, 25. Tony Hadley, 33s. Vicky Patterson, 33s. I can't say Vicky Patterson without thinking about that, you know, hello, Mrs. Patterson. Who was that? What are they called? Kevin and Perry.
Yeah.
George Shelley, 40s and 50s for Georgie Porter. I'll... This isn't for a few days yet, so I'm not going to.
Probably next weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going to put out. I'm not going to say anything yet, because so much can happen between now and the first elimination in terms of who gets the most airtime. I do think, though, looking at those prices right now, if I had to pick one, given how these three have come in and how much airtime Vicky's taking right now, Fern could be worth a, you know, worth a look at 8-1, because I think she might melt into the background a little bit. Very good. I think that'll do us for I'm a Celebrity, won't it?
Do you not want my opinion? Do you not want...
Fire away.
I think Yvette Fielding goes.
Okay.
Only because, bizarrely, I think she's done all right, but they never really focused on it. The fact that when Lady C refused to do that, it was the old Dingo Dollar Challenge, isn't it? And she ended up doing it herself and getting the vending machine. And she
I know
it was early in the show, but nothing ever really seemed to get mentioned about that.
Yeah.
And it was almost the whole thing was focused on the fact that Lady C refused to do the task based on the fact that a two-person task, and Yvette's done the old thing herself. But yeah, nobody seemed... Enough. The market never seemed to respond to it or anything, so...
Yeah, no, there you go. Fair enough. I can see that. It's early days, though, and all sorts could happen in between now and that first elimination, but it's going to make a good viewing. We're going to do some special I'm a Celebrity mini-podcasts once the eliminations get going.
Yeah, as soon as the mini-podcasts start, then... As soon as the mini-podcasts start...
The eliminations will start. Is that how they do it?
Yeah, should we do that again? As soon as the eliminations start...
No, Ant and Dec, wait for us to start this podcast before they start to do the eliminations. That's
how come
it works.
We get paid a little bit less than them, though, don't
we? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm related to Natty Knowles. Very good. That's I'm a Celebrity done and dusted. Our own Strictly Celebrity is in the studio. Got both of you in here at the minute. Daniel Gould coming soon as well, of course. Hello, Andy. You all right?
Hello.
Andy Holding with us to have a look at the Strictly markets. Let's start, as we always do, with the outrights, first of all. And Jamie Guinness still 4-6 favourite. Georgia May Foot now 5-2. Big jump to Peter Andre at 10-1. Anita Riley 16s. 20s for Helen George. 20s for Katie Derham. 25s for Kelly Bright. And 100-1 for Jamelia, who I don't know if this is true or not, but strikes me as being the contestant who's avoided most dance-offs.
Four now, isn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah. Andy. Just a little review of last week. Jamelia sending Jeremy packing before the live shows, which we didn't think would happen. And now we're down to the situation where, all right, Jamelia hasn't been doing too well. Once she goes, we've got a really good competition here, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got another big name that's going to go into the dance-off as well this week.
Indeed.
I think, you know, if Rob probably had his chance in hindsight and a few other odds compilers, that they've missed a trick here with the bottom two shoot-offs, because there's been one or two shocks in there,
yeah,
hasn't
there? Yeah.
I don't think there's been as straightforward a call as we thought there might have been. And last week was indicative of that, of course, with Jeremy rather... surprisingly in many respects, not because of his dancing, because of his popularity, he actually ended up in the bottom two, and of course it was a formality he was going to go.
Yeah.
And then hence Jamelia survived every week because she's just been the best dancer, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Although her record is an unenviable one, she has got lucky in the sense that she hasn't actually anything.
She has sneaked lucky in these things, hasn't she? But she's always come up against a Jeremy or anything like that, and it's sort of kept her in it. But
let's have a look at what we're doing this week then, in terms of what dances we've got. And it's obviously the big week as well, isn't it, at Blackpool? Running down the list in alphabetical order. Anita and Kleb are doing the Pase Doble. American Smooth for Georgia and Giovanni. Helen and Aliash are doing the Charleston. It's the Quick Step for Jamelia and Tristan. Jay and Aliona Salsa. The American Smooth for Katie and Anton. Kelly and Kevin are doing the Quick Step, and it's the Jive for Peter and Jeanette. Andy's nailed his colours to the J-Mast, of course, long ago in the outright, so not much more to say in the outright market, is there, Rob?
No, Jay's pretty much got himself into the final with his big dance early on in the show. Georgia did exactly the same last week, so realistically, we're probably just trying to find a third person to make that final. It is a four-person final this year, isn't it? So... There's two more to go, but I think the first two now in the market have booked their final places, and we will wait and see. Two from seven.
The weekly special here, any couple to score a perfect 40 at Blackpool. 2-1, yes. 4-11, no. At a 39 last week, of course. Let's look at the highest scorer then, Andy, for week 9. Anita Rani is 11-4. Helen George, 4-1. So is Jay McGuinness and Katie Derham. 5-1 Georgia May 4, 8-1 Kelly Bright, 8-1 Peter Andre, and 20-1 Jamelia. Kate is interesting, isn't she? Because, you know, you look at the actual, the average scores, and Jamelia's bottom of that, but by 0.2, she's bottom from Katie, if you look at the averages. But Katie's got this ability to throw in a fantastic dance, hasn't she? She's short enough, though, Katie, this week, I think, in that market.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rob's priced her up based on it being done. She's doing the American Smooth,
yep,
with Anton, of course, who is the undisputed king of the ballroom. Very much the class act, isn't he, amongst the professional dancers. And, of course, he's probably danced on that Blackpool floor more than anyone else, so he knows the dynamics of it as well. And Katie has looked really good in, as you pointed out, in certain dances, and this one should suit her really. She's very elegant, we all know that. And
in the Viennese waltz, maybe, but yeah, not many others.
But they haven't suited her. She's not.
This will suit her dancer.
But then she'll also be compared to Giorgia and Giovanni. How will she compare to those
guys?
Well,
this is it. I mean, she is shorter than what she has been of late, but I think Rob's absolutely bang on. You can't just chuck her in any old price just because she hasn't been doing all that good since the Viennese waltz. You have to price it up on its merits, and I think 4-1 is about the right price for Katie and Anton. Mm-hmm. Don't disagree with that. Rather surprised favourite in many respects being Anita, although I think sneakily Rob has done his homework quite well with that, because that Paso Doble midweek and the training clips that I've seen, and of course Rob's seen as well, has looked very good. Again, very steady. They have been throughout the competition, generally around about the 31, 32 mark. She averages out just under 30. Mm. And that's the story of Anita and Gleb. They haven't really hit the ball out the park yet. No. But to be fair to them, they've always gone out, as we keep talking about it, going out very, very early. They could do with a bit of a pimp spot. If they do, then that 11-4 come under threat. But the bet for me this week would have to be on the basis that the Charleston has been probably the best dance for most of the high-profile names. Mm-hmm. Peter and Jeanette, of course, got a big 39 when they did their Charleston. And, of course, we saw Giorgia predictably last week with the Charleston getting top mark, although she probably did make quite a few more errors in there that suggested that those 10s that she was given was rather a little bit of a overreaction to what she actually did. I think she probably should have got 36, but either way, she was very much the best dancer last week.
Yeah, four of the couple's best dance has been the Charleston.
Yeah,
this series,
it's just a great dance, isn't it? It's just an easy dance for the judges to score highly on, because it's all about the content, isn't it, with this Charleston? As we saw last week with Giorgia, it's not necessarily how many mistakes you make. If they're riddled with them, as long as you've got a great routine and you pull it off and it looks brilliant on the eye, and you're the right end of the show, i.e. towards the back end, everything adds up and it's the perfect storm. And of course, Helen and Aliash are doing the Charleston this week to Anything Goes, which is obviously a great dance tune for that dance. And they're due one as well.
Yeah.
Or they're due a really big score. We know that average-wise, she's top of the total averages all the way through the series. She's scored consistently highly. As I said a few weeks ago, she's very much like similar to Pixie Lott to me. She'll probably go out maybe just before the final. She might scrape into the final, but I don't think she's as popular as the likes of Katie and Anton and all the big players at the top end, Giovanni and, of course, Jay. George and Giovanni and Jay, but I think this week serves to shine. I think it's the perfect stage. And what we've also got to mention as well this week, it's not just about the dancers on their own individually. A lot of them are being choreographed into other performances as well. They're going to be groups of other dancers joining in. Of course, it did Jake no favours last year, did it, when he had three or four dancers to contend. I think he ended up barging into one of them, so they've got to have a good awareness on the dance floor as well with all the other things that are going on. So it's going to be a spectacular visual feast, and I'm hoping that Helen at 4-1 gets the top score this week. But I wouldn't have my life on it.
Okay. No, it's a nice price, though. Rob, any thoughts there? I know you talked about Anita and Kate. I can't have them. I can't have the two lowest scoring average dancers left in the competition, not including Jamelia, of course.
Again, it's running.
It's a long way to go.
It's running, or it's based in the fact that it's running order, she has to get a late.
But that doesn't matter in terms of the highest score.
No, but it does, doesn't it? Because
six times this
series, the highest score has gone on last.
Yeah, but that's because they've been the best dancers as well.
But then it will always. The whole thing I think not only this week are you marking the individual performance, as Andy says, you're marking the whole thing. You're marking how they respond, other people on the stage, on the actual dance floor as well. The whole performance, I think, gets marked more than the actual.
Yeah. I'm still not having it. I think the better dancers will thrive in this atmosphere as well. I don't see how the weakest dancers will become brilliant.
I think it's a bit. I think they've tried to give them as many good dances. I don't think anybody's doing a really bad dance for them this week.
But the other thing is, what are we saying here? Maybe let's not include Jamelia in this, maybe, but of the others, we're talking mid-30s here all the way through. And they overmark at Blackpool, they all
absolutely,
tend to,
yeah.
So Anita is going to have to probably get 38, 39 maybe, and Katie to win this market. Massive jump from what they're getting at the minute.
Put it this way, whatever the price was on average for 40s to be scored each week, you'd imagine that if you're going to go shortest, you'd go shortest this week in Blackpool because it's the big showcase of event. Things are going to get overlooked. They're not quite so microscopic because the dance floor's a bit bigger. There's a little bit of leeway, isn't there, either way, with the scoring. Perhaps.
Would you have that 2-1 for a 40?
I don't think that's a bad price. We've had one or two near misses, and I think we're due one, and it's about this time that the 40s start getting to be dished out. And of course, as Rob's already pointed out, it's a very strong week for the individual dancers. It's a really difficult one to call. Somebody's going to get a very high score. It's going to be a 38-39 or 40 that wins it. It's a break all for Rob to go 11-4 and 8. I probably wouldn't have her in that short. I do think Jay McGuinness is a big price. Well, I'm touched upon him. 4-1, that's probably the biggest price he's ever been to be top scorer. And he's doing potentially a very good dance for him. We know he's fantastic in the ballroom, the Latin. Not so good in the ballroom where he's holding his posture and his poise. And sometimes he forgets the steps and he's rather tripped over himself a few times. And he hasn't looked so good. But you give him a great number, a good song. He's doing... he's doing Cuba from the Gibson Brothers, which is obviously a great song to dance to the salsa. And that should absolutely suit him down to the ground, that dance.
Yep.
4-1 is a big prize. I'd almost have to have a little bit of a saver on him if I was looking to have two bets in the outright top score.
The eighth elimination market, is there any point in talking about anyone else other than Jamelia? I mean, how does she, if she hasn't had a bounce yet, why would we suddenly get a sympathy bounce now? She's been in that bottom two four times, three of the last 4 weeks she's been in there. She's not got above 28. She's going to, it's a fair assumption to make that she'll get the lowest score doing the quick step.
Yeah, possibly, although I think there are one or two other candidates. I'm not sure Kelly and Kevin in the quick step will be a great deal better. I don't think she's going to bomb at it, but she's going to probably not be as memorable as the others. It wouldn't surprise me if she went out first. And don't forget, the viewing public all recognise the fact that they kicked out their people's champion last week. She kicked out Jeremy Vine, which was not going to be forgotten on those that like to dig the knife.
You should have voted for him, Viv.
I know.
Should have voted for him.
Catch-up, isn't it, with me?
We talk about you know, the running order. She was out third last week, second the week before. She was out fifth the week before that. The week before that, a little bit later, I think she was out sixth or seventh, was it? Seventh the week before that. But she's never, not for a long time, since week number three, has she been out anywhere near the end. Is she due one? Out of being fair?
Well, there's no way that they're going to keep their ace card to the back end. They'll want to chuck her under a bus this week.
Okay.
Literally.
She'll be out second.
Yeah,
they'll have something good to start the show.
That'll be a better market than this eighth elimination.
Where will
Jamelia go out on the running? So 2-9. There's no chance that gets beat.
Yeah, not this week. No, but it's like last week. It was just too short for me to get involved.
If you're looking at someone in the bottom two with a Kelly,
I'd say Kelly. And again, Rob's got it right.
They've missed it. Kevin's been ill this week, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So they've missed quite a bit of practice time, so maybe they'd be a bit undercooked.
Being devil's advocate then, Andy, you just said you didn't think that Kelly's quick step would be that much better than Jamelia's.
No.
Any chance of the 8-1? If they're in a dance off together and they're both doing the same dance?
I still think they'll want to keep Kelly in.
Right, fine. No problem. Interesting.
Have they mentioned the tour yet that she's not on?
Kelly's not on it.
Kelly won't be on the tour, will she? Is this a chance to get rid and then just say,
but to be fair,
top seven are going on the tour?
To be fair, I think they
would you want Jamelia on the tour? Well, it's not that popular, is
she? Well, they wanted Jeremy on the tour, but he went last week.
Yeah.
Well, X Factor have brought somebody back, haven't they? X Factor.
What a wild card. You don't get wild cards.
X Factor now getting a wild card to...
Fantastic. Some interesting bets there. It's an interesting week, actually, isn't it?
It is.
Because if Jamelia does go, then we're really down to... I mean, maybe, you could argue Jamelia then... and then Kelly, but then there's some good dancers in there.
Next week, there's a real difficult eviction to price up in about 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, exactly. When Jamila, if Jamila's predicted goes this week, next week's going to be tough. It's all going to be all
who's
about the dancing.
Who's
the bottom two there, yeah.
And the popularity.
And I think, you know, Rob probably might have a look at that, trying to predict the bottom two, because it won't be so easy. And that's why last week we topped up heavily on the standout Georgia dance. Certain weeks you've just got to go all in with your chips, mm-hmm. and some weeks you just keep a few and you know.
Interesting week. Thank you very much for your time, Andy.
Okay, guys.
That's Strictly Out of the Way. That's I'm a Celebrity Done and Dusted. It's time to talk X Factor, and delighted to say that Daniel Gould from SofaBet is on the line. Hi, Daniel. You well?
I'm well, thanks, Lee. How about you?
I'm very good, thank you. I've just about got over Ollie Murs and Caroline Flack's performance last week, which I'm still campaigning that they should have gone rather than Monica.
Definitely they should have gone.
Unbelievable. That face that Ollie pulled to Simon will live with me forever, Daniel. It was, it was another example of the calamity that is X Factor this series, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at least it provided more entertainment than some other aspects of the show this year. I loved his I'm getting sacked in the morning face, though.
Yeah, it was great when that went around Twitter. I absolutely loved that. We'll have a look at the outrights, as ever, and then look at some of the markets that we've got for this week. Louisa Johnson, even money now to win the whole show. Che Chesterman, 100-30. Lauren Murray, 100-30. 10-1 for Fourth Impact, who came back with a vengeance last week. 16-1 for Reggie and Bowley.
Bowley.
We should call him now. Anton Stevens, not Stephens, 33-1. And Mason Noyes is 50-1. Louisa Johnson, you know, she's got plenty of friends in the market, Daniel, hasn't she? I still watch this show every week, and as good as she is, I still get blown away by Che Chesterman every single week. I think he builds a song like, you know, the best contestants we've seen on X Factor. He starts a song, and I'm thinking, is he not as good as he was last week? And then suddenly, from nowhere, this build comes out of him, and he ends up kind of moving me to kind of the old, you know, hairs in the back of the neck standing up every single week, this guy.
Yeah, they're keeping him in the same lane this week as well. He's got the Marvin Gaye cover of The Beatles Yesterday, so he's kind of keeping to the kind of soul classics with the kind of middle England pleasing stuff. My one concern two things actually. One, it's a slightly Jermaine Douglas route they're taking with him, the kind of granny favourites. And secondly, I for the first time was a little bit underwhelmed last week with his Kim slot. I just felt that there was something about the sound mix that just left him a little bit exposed. That was my first. Having said which, they name checked him for the final in that during his VT at the end of it, Nick Grimshaw, his mentor, said, "I'm taking this car with you straight to the final," and that's the first time they've done that. And that's often a really big sign that they want someone in the final, and they've done everything they can for him up till now. But I think that his fans and his backers will want to see that continue after a perhaps slightly underwhelming Kim slot. He's certainly drifted on the exchanges in the last couple of days.
Just looking back at last week, I actually thought it was the best week we've had so far in terms of performances. I thought Mason Noyes was very good in what he did. I thought Fourth Impact were incredible, to be fair. I thought that the performance was like what you'd expect to go and see at a pop concert. Not that I would, but you know, if I went to one, that's what I'd expect to see. I thought they were better than Little Mix were when they were live on the show, for instance.
It was very professional. I've been someone who to criticise their vocals previously. I thought the first 2 weeks they were really ropey, but there's no doubting the professionalism they showed last Saturday. And then of course they might have got an extra boost from the wobble from Selena, her almost passing out apparently. Mm.
Yeah. Any thoughts from last week before we move on to this week, Rob?
No, I thought, as you said, it was a good week. As far as sort of major standouts concerned, I didn't really see too much sort of in the market that changed things. Obviously, Lauren was probably the stand. As far as the market was concerned, anyway, I think Lauren was the standout. She sort of halved in price, got as short as sort of 3-1, 11-4, middle of the week. Found out now that she's not staying at the house anymore.
Yeah,
so I think there's been a drift pretty much based on that. Her song choice this week doesn't really stand out as potential winner as well. I just wonder if it's her week for sort of D-ramp, and then you kind of wonder, they've put all their eggs in this Louisa Johnson basket, and each week they're just trying to D-ramp. We've seen sort of Anton Stevens, who's won, according to the Daily Star League, who won the first week's public vote. he got deramped. They've got rid of Sean Marley Moore as well in the second week, and you just wonder now how it's going to go. Maybe this is Lauren Murray's turn, and you kind of wonder where, if they just want, basically they just want Lauren, Che, and maybe one other act now in the final.
The interest, that's been the big story this week, hasn't it? The Lauren Murray thing, not only leaving the house, but the comments that she's made. She's been pretty vocal, hasn't she? You don't often get this from contestants who are still in the show. Talking about how hard the filming was to deal with, which is fair enough. The camera's there when you wake up. It's there when you go to sleep. I felt I could never relax. It's intense. Talks about the six-chair challenge being horrific. And then, I mean, the interesting thing then she goes on to say about the swimming pool for the contestants' use. Not allowed to use it unless there's a lifeguard on duty. She said, but they said it was fine for Shay to jump in with all his clothes on. They don't care if he drowns as long as they get the shot. I mean, this is pretty, you know, for an existing X Factor contestant, this is pretty unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah, I had mixed feelings about the press she's got during the week. I mean, obviously, she could also get a lot of sympathy from... it was becoming clearer just how much she's been through in her young life. A father who died when she was 11, having just come out of prison. A mother who's borderline schizophrenic, and as a result of which she was in a care centre for 3 years of her teenage life. So it's interesting they've given her such leeway. I wonder if they just realised that here was someone who they had to allow to kind of express herself and just tell it as she saw it. I'm fascinated by how she's going to be treated this coming week, because, like I say, last week was a bit confusing. She was supposed to get Licensed to Kill, which we thought was a deramping song. They had to change it, and she got a great song that she performed really well. This week really feels like it's gonna make producers' intentions really, really clear.
Yeah, singing We Belong Together, Mariah Carey song, so right up her street as well, of course.
It is. I like the song, and I think it will suit her. So again, it will all be in like the staging and the comments and the VT and everything else.
Interestingly, I was looking down the list and I saw the list of songs. Fourth Impact are doing Ain't No Other Man, which again is, you know, ideally suited to them, the Christina Aguilera song. You mentioned Che doing Yesterday. Mason Noyes doing Jealous, which is the Nick Jonas song. Reggie and Bowley doing Shut Up and Dance and Dangerous Love. It seems like they can do anything they want, because every act who comes on to sing on the show love Reggie and Bowley. Anton Stephens doing One Sweet Day, which again is ideally suited. And I looked down and I thought to myself, Louisa Johnson's doing Let It Go.
Not the Frozen one.
And I thought, wow, that's going to play into the hands of my daughters for a start and everyone else. And it's not the Frozen one, which is, it's the James Bay one. She can do no wrong at the minute, can she? As Rob was saying, Daniel, she does seem like she's obviously the chosen one at the moment, and they're happy to see how far she'll last. Because there's a history of girls like her not quite getting to the final, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's a popularity contest, and often for like the chosen young girls, they don't quite kind of relate enough. There's not enough of a backstory, or they're not relatable enough. And actually, that's one problem for them, is that Lauren is slightly more relatable because she's got more of a story. She's slightly older. She's been through a lot. She's got more of a story than Louisa. But I think they've been pretty clever with her. I thought her and Rita's tears last week are usually a vote getter. This week, I was a bit I didn't know quite what to make of the song choice until I saw the version in which they said that they're going to Let It Go, they're doing, which is the James Bay song, but reworked by a singer called Sophia Carlberg, who I didn't know of, but I looked it up on YouTube, and it actually sounds ideal for her. Once you see the Sophia Carlberg clip of Let It Go, you can actually just imagine Louisa singing it, and I think it's actually a very good choice for her, having watched that clip. So you're right, I think all the song choices feel like they fit the singer or the act, and that indicates perhaps two things. One, that they've got in mind the people who were just above the drop zone last week are the ones they want in the danger zone this week. And secondly, actually, if there's any of them I'm not quite sure of, I think Anton Stephens' One Sweet Day does feel rather dated. What I want to watch out for is, last time it was done on the show was in 2010 by John Adelaide, in his week one performance, and Cheryl claimed it was one of her favourite songs of all time. So I'm fascinated to see if Cheryl has any criticism.
Oh, I love that, Daniel.
Has any criticism of one sweet day tomorrow, I'm going to be standing up and saying, liar, liar, pants on fire.
I'm half expecting her now to say, well, I have never heard of that song before. Yeah. Like, you know, sorry for the Geordie accent, by the way, everyone. I love that. That's going to be my highlight of the show now.
Yeah, looking that's what I've got to look for.
Fantastic. We haven't had any confirmation of whether it's a single or a double. I mean, they could finish the show this week for all we know, couldn't they? They could just go, right,
we're
at the final. Every week, in fact, they say, welcome to the X Factor final. I always think it's the final single week when they do the intro.
I'm half expecting Ollie to announce the winner this week anyway, so...
Open all those envelopes up that they gave him.
We haven't heard. I will say, I think they will tell us at the start of Saturday's show what it is. Unlike week one, where we didn't get official confirmation until Sunday, I think that was naughty of them. They went against the rules that stated on their own website about the kind of format being clear for voters before they make their phone vote. So I do think they will, whether it's single or double, they will make sure to tell us on
I think
Saturday.
We've got enough room, haven't we, for a single this three in the final, haven't we, so we've got room for one single, haven't we?
They told us they're doing two songs each next week, and often when there's six contestants left they do just one song, but in fact in 2011 there were six acts doing two songs each, so it's perfectly possible that there could be a single or double, six or five left next
make
week.
My night longer.
Makes everyone's night longer. The first judge to lose all the acts market, obviously now Simon Cowell is a very short price favourite, 4-11 with just Anton Steffens there, and who knows if they can stop the deramping now that they've started it. Cheryl 11-4, 8-1 Nick Grimshaw and Rita Ora 25-1, the judge to lose all their acts first. Let's have a look at the seventh elimination market then. It's an interesting one. Mason Noyes is 11-8. Anton Steffens is 11-4. Reggie and Bowley 3-1. Fourth Impact 7-1. Lauren Murray 14s. Che Chesterman 20s. 50s for Louisa Johnson. I thought Mason Noyes was excellent last week, and I think that played right into his the way he should be performing. I guess we know he's someone who isn't getting a high vote by virtue of the fact that where he's finished, you know, in previous weeks. There's some good acts here, aren't there? I mean, Fourth Impact are very good. Whether they've got the British public's vote behind them is debatable. Reggie and Bolly, like I say, I mean, I have to put a line through these guys, I'm afraid. I mean, I think you may have written this in one of your reviews, Daniel, as well, that I feel like I'm so out of touch with Reggie and Bolly. I watch them every week and think, they're a joke act, but people actually genuinely like these. People who are more with it than me actually genuinely like Reggie and Bolly. I don't get it. You know, I understand in previous years when you had Wagner and all those kind of guys and it's just a bit of a joke, but people genuinely think these guys are good.
Yeah, Reggie and Bolly are the tricky ones to probably in this market. They sort of make this elimination market. Now, I always thought they wanted to keep them in when Fourth Impact struggled in the first sort of couple of weeks of the show. I thought they were the sort of security blanket, really, of the sort of eight or nine acts that there was. Now that Thorf Impact, that was definitely their best performance last week. Mm-hmm. So are now Reggie and Bolly sort of viable, sort of really for the chop?
A few things I'd say. Firstly, that it's famously the joke or novelty act comes kind of seventh or sixth, yep, like Rylan or Stevie. They're chopped around this area. Secondly, it looked like there were elements of bringing them down a little bit last week. Simon says, I didn't think it was as good as the week before. Mm-hmm. But I thought that they might be set up for doing something slower this week, because with the implication in last week's VT that they couldn't really sing very well when they were doing the Celine Dion sort of skits. But you know, I have to say the song choices are excellent this week. Having said which, Rylan and Johnny Robinson, two other novelty acts, both went out doing a fun mashup. So it'll all be in the kind of staging, and I think it's crucial to see how the judges react, because in those first couple of weeks when they were hyping them up, They banged the table. They drummed up support for them. This time, if there's kind of like polite applause and lukewarm, you know, they're not goading the crowd, then that indicates to me that their time is up. But whether it's this week or next week, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think you're right. I mean, because the audience is up for every time they come on the stage, people are, you know, are dancing around, and it always seems to me Fourth Impact very serious. It's not a fun thing. You know, they're a very serious pop band. They're excellently choreographed. It always seems to me like Reggie and Bolly are the kind of right. Let's just sink our shoulders down a little bit in the actual.
The
whole show seems to look forward to them just to give it a bit of light relief. Mason Noise is all attitude, isn't he? And all
that. In a market now where there isn't, they are the niche in the market now, aren't they? Because there isn't even when they picked the 12 final, 13 with Monica to start, there was never really that fun fact. Max Stone just bought, he could send me to sleep and stuff like that, and that. They're so different. That's probably why the public sort of interacted with them.
I still don't know why. Why was Max Stone even on? What? I don't understand that at all.
I don't know.
It still baffles me why Max Stone was even involved. At the end of it last week,
people needed to hear that reggae version of Adele. That's why.
Even when they said, oh, you know, you've gone, how do you feel? Oh, yeah, it's been lovely.
It's been nice. I've had a few weeks out, yeah.
It's been lovely.
Only been sat at home.
Very
so,
weird. Strange. He'll be a quiz question in years to come. The least memorable X Factor contestant ever.
Definitely a pointless answer somewhere down the line.
Yeah, definitely. Although, Daniel, you mentioned Axe, who I've even forgot about Johnny Robinson. When you mentioned Johnny Robinson, I got a little smile across my face. Oh, I quite like Johnny Robinson.
I must admit, when I was in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, there was a billboard for Jesus Christ Superstar. And Rachel Adedeji was in
it. Yes, I saw that the other day.
Brought back good memories.
She's my favourite person because she's the best voiceover ever, isn't she? She's Rachel Adedeji. That one works better than any other name, I think, in X Factor history. We've veered away slightly from the betting here. Who are we going for seventh elimination then, chaps? Do you want to go first here, Rob?
Yeah, I think the bounce keeps Anton in. Mason Noise for me goes.
Interesting. Daniel?
It's tough given the single or double thing. I am going to go, just because it's the most fearful song choice for me, I'm going to go that that's going to suppress the bounce on Anton. I think that's the worst song choice of the seven, so I'm going to say that Anton doesn't get the bounce.
Wow. And Simon's left with no acts, which will give him a chance to concentrate on making the show better, I suppose.
Yeah, and it gives him a chance to be the neutral judge who tells us who he genuinely wants to win, which is Louisa. That is a thing. But I've always said, when others say that in the past about, say, Louis or Cheryl, I said, oh, they don't really care. This time it is Simon. Simon has to get over it himself.
I don't think he cares, though, Daniel. I think he's genuinely lost interest in the whole show. You know, I think, you know, I don't, obviously, we know a bit about Simon Cowell's personality, and he seems to be somebody who thrives on the excitement of the live. And I think he will know how bad this series has been. He'll be under no illusion of the problems that they're experiencing behind, because that production element is shocking. Well, so I think he'll be happy to kind of distance himself from it almost.
I just thought it was bizarre last week. I don't know if... confession time, I've not read Sofabet this week, but
I'll edit that out.
Obviously the fact that Simon, when it got to 2-1 in the vote last week, and the fact that they went to Simon knowing full well, it just the whole production of that just seemed bizarre. That I can't remember a time where they've gone to one of the judges' mentors in that situation.
Honestly, it seems from, you know, I don't know, I've never worked in TV production, but I know enough people who do, and I know enough about the whole idea of it, that it's just an absolute mess. From not doing Caroline Flack's hair every time she goes out to not giving Ollie Mears the right information, it just seems a right old mess. If it is a single and we're picking a bottom two,
I just think there might be a chance to get Lauren Murray into this. Into the bottom.
Maybe you're a harsh man.
If it is a double, then I think Mason Noise goes either first or second. Mm. I think Lauren Murray will be, if it's a bottom three, I think it would be Mason Noise. I think it would be Lauren Murray, and I think Could be Reggie and Bolly, maybe.
Wow, can you, why don't you name them all? Well, yeah. Why don't you go for the lot of them?
Because if it's a double, then you've got to name three out of seven,
haven't you? Well, I think it'll be a single this week. I'm saying Fourth Impact getting the bottom two here. I think after last week, I think people will think they're great and that maybe they'll come down a little bit. I'm with Daniel. I think Anton Stefford, I think they've done too much damage to him to kind of resurrect it now. It still felt last week like it wasn't quite... And he's starting. He was one of my favourite competitors in the whole competition. I like Jennifer Phillips originally. I'm annoyed by him now. He annoys me.
Yeah, I think they've done enough.
His mouth and all that. It's just something about him that annoys me.
I think they've done too much to put him in the bottom two. Now I think there's got to be some. I think there'll be a bounce this week.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, in terms of my other one. So if it's a single, I think Anton straight out. If it's a double, I think that puts Reggie and Bowley in great danger. And I'm looking out for how much the judges drum up support for them and how much fun it gets across. So those are my two I've got in sight. So I think Mason Noyes is a hot favourite to be eliminated next, but he's the only heartthrob left in the competition, and he did well last week. So I think just at the prices, it's worth looking elsewhere.
Daniel, thanks very much for your time. As always, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and illuminating as well. Check out sofabet.com. Check out the Twitter handle as well, @sofabet, for reviews and previews of the week's happenings on X Factor. Have a good weekend, Daniel, and we'll be looking out for your tweets over the weekend.
Many thanks, Lee. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Rob, there's a few more bits and pieces on the website, of course, from the specials pages. So, as if that's not enough, we've already done about 50 minutes, I think, chatting about it. But we have got X Factor is Strictly Specials. We've got Spotty. We've got The Voice. We've got Oscars, Eurovision, Mercury.
Mercury. Can I just mention very quickly Mercury Prize tonight, depending if Lee can get
Friday.
His podcast out time, 9:30 tonight. Benjamin Clementine, a Parisian, obviously after the tragic events of last week, would probably be a very popular winner, but he's 3-1/5. Jamie XX, who's been the long-time favourite for this market, 7-2. Esker's third favourite now at 13-2. They've been the market move. They were 12-1 when the market came out. Just going quickly down, Wolf Alice, 7-1. Ghost Poet, who seemed to annually get a nomination for this, 10-1. Aphex Twin, 12-1. Rasheen Murphy, 12-1. Soak, 12-1. Slaves, 14. C. Duncan, 16. Gaz Coombs out of Supergrass from the 90s fans
from
on here.
From the 90s.
16-1. And Florence and the Machine, the outside, at 25-1. Live on BBC 3. I think 9:30 tonight.
Very good. Probably Radio 6 as well.
Probably, yeah.
Christmas specials. We've got number one, Snow on Christmas Day. Top book, top video game. We've got James Bond, Star Wars specials, weather, the Turner Prize, Royal specials, Olympic specials, and the next Pope. That'll do us, Rob.
Job's done.
Thank you very much. From last week's really tight, short podcast, this week, really long and meandering podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know which one you prefer. @reality_Rob. I'm @LeePhelps. We'll be talking about I'm a Celebrity, X Factor, and Strictly Come Dancing all through the weekend. Thank you very much for listening. If you're having a bet on any of the specials markets this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.